OMG. Okay, before we dive into this heavy topic of COVID-19 and what it means for the class of 2021, I need to take a moment to beam and boast and brag about my campers. If you haven't heard, well, they super scored this year. I mean, really, they killed it. While the numbers are still coming in, it's pretty safe to say that the campers have earned well over $5 million in scholarships. Yes, $5 million and counting. That is crazy. I mean, yes, they were admitted to some pretty amazing colleges. The highlights include Georgetown and Cornell and USC, Berkeley, UCLA, Boston College, Northwestern, Villanova, Notre Dame, Michigan, Claremont McKenna, Northeastern, Boston University, UC San Diego, UC Santa Barbara, TCU, Rensselaer, and I could go on. But the truth is, the top of the food chain colleges award very little, if any, merit scholarship dollars. So most of the scholarship money comes from simply standing out with grades, test scores, or essays, basically having a fantastic admission application. So, what am I doing with all of this? I am opening up the vault. In my upcoming free webinar masterclass, The Anatomy of a Successful Dream College Application, I am going to walk through real students, real applications, and real results. Yep, you heard me. So in this masterclass, you're going to learn, one, the most important components of the college application, two, what colleges look for, three, what works in these real applications, and four, practical tips and strategies to get started right away with your own dream college application. You're going to discover that these applicants aren't superhuman, they aren't legendary athletes, and they aren't curing cancer or COVID. Maybe someone is, hopefully. They just wrote perfect applications, and that's why we're going to break it down for you step by step in this webinar. So, sound good? I thought you might like that. So get ready, because this is all going down next week, May 27th and 28th. So you'll want to register for the webinar on my website today. Like, literally set a reminder and go and register today at drcynthiacolon.com. That's drcynthiacol, like Larry, O-N like Nancy. And then select the date and time that works best for you. You don't want to miss this masterclass. I am so excited to share this with you. All right, so yes, let's talk about COVID-19 and the class of 2021. I won't make you wait any longer. Let's get started.
There is no guarantee for success, but there are ways to get closer to it when you do the right things. Who you surround yourself with is just as important as what you do. Finding the right people, the right classes, the right activities, and taking the right tests are all decisions that shape your future. Find out more today on Destination University with Dr. Cynthia Colon. Dr. Colon and her guests will give you the tips you need, whether you're a student, parent, or educator. Now, here is your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon.
Through any challenging time, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We can't always see it, but there is hope at the other end. For the graduating class of 2020, their school life ended abruptly with hopes of still having that prom, celebratory awards nights, and the culminating graduation ceremony out on a beautiful green lawn or football field with screaming fans in the crowd. But that was not to be. And while the class of 2021 awaits their turn at a senior year, they are left wondering, what will normal look like, and what does this mean for me as I apply to college? Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of the book Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens. And today, I'm answering those questions. I recently hosted an evening for one of my partner schools, the parents of Bishop Amont High School. I gave them my insights, predictions, and tips and strategies on how to move forward and get ahead in this process. Parents left comments about how helpful and valuable this presentation was, so I thought I would share it with all of you. If you are a parent of a college-bound teen or a champion of one, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. This is episode 61. Today's lesson, what COVID-19 means for college admissions and the class of 2021. Okay, so I'm going to just let it roll. I was pretty real and raw with this group because they're a partner school, and so I basically recorded it to share with them, and now I'm sharing it with you. So I'm just going to let the tape roll, and basically, I'll see you on the other end. Enjoy. Okay, well, welcome to Bishop Amon's Parent Night, and we're talking today about the impact, the opportunity, and the challenges of COVID-19. And it, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to eventually get back to some kind of new normal, and your teens will be applying to college, soon enough. If you are a parent of a current junior, or if you're watching and you're currently a junior, you're less than about 8 months away from applying to college, which seems like long, you know, far away, but it's really not that far. If you're lucky enough to be here and you're a freshman and you have the luxury of some time, and you'll see how this all plays out, but you'll also have some time to make a good plan for yourself and get yourself really ready for this process and make yourself stand out. So I can't see everyone right now, but if you want to just thumbs up. Okay, if you're like me, and I think most parents are about my age, we rolled out of bed, we took the SAT one time, maybe, and I applied to three, maybe four schools, and was, you know, I was pretty involved, but that was pretty much it, right? So can I get an amen or like a thumbs up if I can see a few of you? Yeah, this is you. And you're like thinking, what the heck happened? How did this get so crazy and so, you know, so competitive? In 1998, UCLA had about 30,000 applications, and 20 years later in 2018, they had over 110,000 freshman applications only. So needless to say, even before COVID, just nothing seemed easy with as far as college admissions, but now today, really, absolutely nothing feels that easy anymore, right? So I want to just assure you that all parents share the same worries, doubts, and fears. If you're going through this for the first time with your oldest child, it feels nerve-wracking to you. But even if you're going through it for the third time with a third child, it still now is feeling, you know, murky waters and what's coming because of this global pandemic. So we're going to sort of get to all of that today. Just know that with some knowledge, a plan, a guide, you can conquer anything. And I know that you know your teen is worth it. Here are just a few of the students who took the essay camp class last year. We were on the campus last year. Oh my gosh, how I remember that library. We will not be live in person, but we will be live streaming this year for our camp. So I'll get to that at the end. So just breathe. Literally, I want you all to just take a big, deep breath and breathe. I know that I need to do that every day too. So hopefully you're getting some movement and some exercise daily because we're so confined right now and feeling a little bit fearful and a lot of anxiety. We're all in this together. Okay, so today's lesson plan, we're going to go over five things. We're going to review that video that some of you watched, and some of you may have watched just a bit of it. I'll talk about the impact, the opportunity, the challenges, and then I'll end with some practical tips. And at the very end, I will share, if that's okay with you, I will share the resources that we've partnered together with Bishop Amont for your families specifically, okay? So let's get started. We're going to review the college admissions COVID video. I would recommend that you watch it because I'm not going to go through all of the points. That video itself is about 35 minutes, and it goes into much deeper into the 5 points I'm about to summarize for you right now. So there, in college admissions, there's one overriding question that goes into the college admission decision. And when I was in admissions, I was sort of trained on this and sort of it was in my head at all times. So this is the question. You want to write this down. Oh, I wanted to put this here. Okay, so get ready. Write this down. That goes here. Given your resources, what did you accomplish? given your resources, what did you accomplish? That's the overriding question. So I just want you to sort of think through that. What does that mean for your teen, right? Every family has different resources. Every school has different resources. You're very lucky and blessed to have the education that you do because, you know, our Catholic schools stepped up to the plate. Bishop Amat, no surprise, stepped up to the plate and is delivering an education that has not really been afforded to every student in America right now. So you've got different sets of resources. Okay, so that being said, the next thing is, with no test scores, what are the two things that matter most in this college application? So get ready, write this down. These are the two things: the academic qualities and the personal qualities. So you may, there are different times you might want to screen, you're welcome to screenshot things, take some notes. I'll ask some bonus questions and ask you to post them in our live event page, and we'll do some prizes later as well, okay? So the AQs and the PQs are the two things that matter most. Dr. C, what is AQs and PQs? So the academic qualities consist of grades, test scores, and the rigor of your curriculum. So AP, honors, IB courses. What's the number of AP, IB, and honors courses that you've taken in the time that you've been a student in high school? So the grades, meaning the GPA, your test scores, and the rigor of curriculum. The AQs, as I tell my campers, the AQs determine where you can apply. It levels the playing field. It's like, these are my stats. These are my quantitative data points. And this will determine where your child can really apply to, okay? So are the AQs important? Yes, they are the most important because they are your ticket to the dance. So I say this, and I also say that the AQs in any given pool, college admission pool, are going to be the same no matter where you apply. So the pool of students applying to UCLA have similar AQs. Similar AQs in the students who apply to Cal State, Cal State Fullerton, or University of Portland, or St. Louis University, or Rice, or Duke, or Harvard, Yale, Princeton. So everyone has the same AQs in that pool, but you still need those to get your ticket to the dance, okay? So it's the AQs that get your foot in the door, but it's the PQs that are gonna make you stand out. The PQs are your personal qualities, your involvement, leadership, interest and career goals, and your personal background. The PQs get you admitted. The PQs are illuminated through essays and teacher recommendations, okay? That's where the PQs come out. Again, the PQs are involvement, leadership, interest in career goals, and personal background, okay? You hear my little bubby, he's like whining. Okay, but wait. So should I take the exam or not? Because the UCs have suspended that requirement and many schools are going test optional. So how does the testing play a role? So if you remember, I said the AQs consist of these three things, okay? And if we remove one of those pieces, guess what? It means that the other pieces take the majority of that piece. So it's not like you're sort of, you know, of the half that's AQs and the half is PQs. What it means is that instead of three pieces making up this half, it's two pieces, okay? So you're gonna have greater weight. If you remove the testing piece, they're gonna have greater weight on the grades and how many honors and AP courses you took in IB courses, okay? So I want you to just sort of think through that. So when I get this question, I answer in this way. There are three types of students who I believe still should consider taking the test when they come available. Okay, ACT and SAT have already announced when they're going to give those tests. So are you ready? Here are the three types of students. The three types of students are those, one, who are applying to competitive colleges or programs. So what I mean by that are those colleges that are admitting less than 35% are considered highly selective institutions. So if you're applying to at least one of those, you're going to want to really consider, and to my knowledge, none of the Ivies have said that they are suspending that requirement yet. The other part of this, number one, is highly competitive programs. This tends to be engineering majors, things, majors that are impacted or just, you know, have highly competitive applicants. So if your teen is applying to one or both of these criteria, you're going to want to move forward and plan to take the test. That's my opinion. Obviously, everybody makes their own decision. The number two thing is if you come from a highly resourced background and or can score above a 1200. So let me break this two down. So I often say, especially to private school students or students who attend public school in a highly high socioeconomic status, you know, neighborhood, then I say to them, probably many of the your cohort, your peers, wherever you go to school or wherever you live, if they're taking test prep and they're getting and they're planning on taking the test, it's probably a good idea for you to take that exam as well, because at the end of the day, you're going to be competing against your own cohort of peers from Bishop Amont High School. The other student, the other type of student, sort of just in this in general, because the answer is not always a complete yes. I've certainly have told some of my private school students that based on their PSAT score, it may not really be something that would benefit them, but if they think they can score above a 1200, then they should. I've had some conversations with those who have already scored a 1200 on the PSAT or higher, and so without any prep, that's telling me that they can score a 1300 or above. Okay, again, everything is relative. And if you're, again, to go back to point number one, if your teen is applying to one of those top schools, you really should be targeting a 1200 or above, and really it should be even higher than that. Okay, number three, if you want your teen, and I think everybody should want their teen to apply to merit dollars or scholarship dollars, it will be a good thing to have a test score, okay, just for competitive reasons. So those are the three. What are the four key ingredients to becoming the best applicant during COVID-19, okay? Here we go, ready? You're gonna wanna write this down or screenshot this. Here they are. I strongly encourage taking an inventory of you. So this is a good time to take a look at the AQs and the PQs and see where are your strengths and where are your gaps. Okay, I don't like to use the term weaknesses. I don't think anything is a weakness. You can strengthen anything. So it's just a gap. What is the gap? And if you're a freshman, this is so great for you to be able to take inventory, a real true inventory, and then make a plan of action for how to, you know, fulfill those gaps or what do you need to do. Along the same line, sort of once you know what your gaps and your strengths are, then you make a plan of action. You really make a plan of action. And I do it by sort of backwards mapping. Where do you want to be by the time you're a senior? And I mean first semester senior year, and then you backwards map that. So just keep in mind, you want to write this down. I should have made this a separate point. You want to write this down. Remember that it takes 8 semesters to graduate from high school, but only 6 semesters of GPA will be used when you apply to college. Okay, so in the fall of senior year, when students are applying to college, they don't have seventh and eighth semester grades and GPA. So your GPA is built upon 6 semesters, not 8. Those of you who are juniors, you're thinking, oh gosh, I just have a few weeks left for my last bit of GPA. Yeah. So it's good to make a plan of action. The earlier you can make a plan of action, the better. Number three, discover colleges and scholarships. So obviously you can't travel much these days, but you can do a really good search. And I have a couple of good suggestions for how to do that. And look for scholarships. I'll explain why scholarships are going to be so important, especially now as we move forward with college admissions.
Creating a killer college list. So I'm just going to stick on this point for just a second. My philosophy is I believe in choices. I believe that when anyone gets to senior year, spring of their senior year, March, April, as a parent, your only job is to help them have choices that they're happy with. And so that really begins with having a really appropriate college list. I believe in reaching and dreaming and being optimistic about things, but I also believe in being realistic as well as a combination. So this is where parents and families get stuck. If you only concentrate on the colleges that you know that are just the popular ones, pretty perfect and prestigious, then you're going to probably get stuck. And I much rather you have more choices. So that's really, I feel like your only main job is to make sure you have good choices. The final point in the presentation is this, the five ways to get involved and show leadership during COVID-19. So we're not in the school musical. We're not playing baseball or softball. We're not moving forward probably in the summer programs that were previously scheduled. So what can you do? This is probably one of the top questions. So I'm going to give some examples that I gave in the presentation, but this is a real conversation to have, okay? So here are five ways. So self-improvement, and I go from sort of your closest to the outermost. So self-improvement, meaning there's so many things to do. Like I give the example, I'm a big sports fan. So I often give the example of, you know, the best of the best. I mean, if Kobe, God bless him, if he were alive, he would be doing something, you know, in his backyard or wherever he is. Serena Williams, you know, all the greatest athletes are training somewhere and doing something to improve themselves daily, whether it's their health or their eating program or the skills, the footwork, whatever they're doing. So think about what your team really enjoys doing, what they're really good at. It could be something very brainy, very academic. There's outschool.com, there's Masterclass, there's podcasts to listen to. So now is a great time to really become a connoisseur, to really become a connoisseur of whatever it is that they love to do. I'm trying to see who that is. There's someone here. Don't forget to mute yourself. Okay. The next thing is to assist with household duties. Right now, we all need to be working together. And so this is a great time to teach your kid how to do laundry, how to budget for, you know, how to go to the market, how to budget a monthly, lots of things that you can do. And that is something. I know it sounds maybe trivial right now, but, you know, I have students. I have a student who is the oldest of 8 kids. There's a lot of people home. There's a lot of people needing attention, needing food, needing laundry done, needing homeschooling, all of that. And so she says that she's been helping with that. Okay, number 3, connect, collaborate with classmates and or an organization. So there's a lot of feelings of disconnect right now, or loneliness or depression, or just needing to connect with people. So dance online with people, connect, find a way. So if you're an extrovert and this is making you crazy, if your teen is an extrovert and this is making them crazy to be sort of having, you know, being inside, get them to help them start something, you know, for a group of people that they can connect with. I'm an extrovert. So I every Wednesday at from 5 to 5:30, I connect with a group of friends that I used to work with at Marymount. Love it. I need that, that energy. So I'm doing that. Number 4, do something for your neighbors or your neighborhood. So think about ways, you know, sort of, this is like old school, like, you know, offer to, you know, bring food or get some chalk out and make some nice notes, or you know, think about your neighbors in your neighborhood. It depends on how close you are to your neighborhood. Where I live here, we all sort of, you know, chat and gather around, you know, social distance. Where my mom lives, everybody sort of knows each other. We all grew up, you know, have kids that grew up together. So we go and we leave things, you know, on their doorstep and things, that little food, we just leave them there. And we exchange food sometimes. So think about ways to do something like that. And then, of course, there's the bigger scope. You can have your team create something for a neighborhood, a city, a region, a state. So there are a lot of problems that did not exist just weeks ago. And so if you have such a motivated team and a team who's really thinking about applying to one of those really top schools that's admitting less than 15%, now is a good time to start thinking, how can I mobilize a group of students to do something? How can I give of my time, my treasure, or my talent to something that needs me? If they sew, great, sew some masks. If they like to mobilize students to do something and give in some way, or start a GoFundMe or something, or find a way to do a tournament and have the money go towards an organization that's helping to feed kids. Think of just about anything. Ask your teen, engage your teen in the conversation of what do they see is most important to them right now, and have them, move forward. I mean, honestly, for every 20 students I talk to say you can do something really super cool, thinking like an Eagle Scout project or a Girl Scout Gold Award project, something bigger than yourself. Very few students will take me up on that offer, but those who do are really better for it. You learn a lot of lessons if you can do something like that. Not mandatory, but just something to think about. Okay, so we're going to move on to the pieces that were not in that video, and these are the pieces that I saved for you. So let's talk about some realities here, the impact and the opportunity. So the acceptance rates for 2021, for the class of 2021, and probably for 2022. So let me just break it down for you very raw and real, if that's okay with you. Is that okay with you that I just be candid with you? Thumbs up if you want me to be very open and honest and candid. All right. So let's just say that what's happening right now is obviously unprecedented. That goes without being said. But literally just before this happened, letters of acceptance went out. And colleges were planning, okay, I need to admit some schools, if you want to admit a class of 100 freshmen, some schools need to admit, if you're Harvard, you might need to admit 110 students to get 100 to say yes. Some schools need to admit 200 students to get 100 to say yes. And some schools need to admit 300 to get 100 to say yes, et cetera. Okay, so they make a very specific plan. And now with this that just happened after that went out, lots has changed. And so they're all worried if they're going to make their number, they're going to make their number. That's why many of them will go to their wait list. Some students had been denied. They offered them a wait list spot and then went as far as offering that wait list kid a spot on the acceptance list. So there's a lot that has changed. Now, what does that mean for you, your class? You're like, yeah, we don't care about the class of 2020. Maybe you do. What that means is if a college was planning on bringing in a freshman class of 100 and they fall short of that and they get 95 or 90 or God forbid, even less than that, that means even with all that they do with waitlist, that means that next year they will try to bring in a class of 110 to make up the 10 that lost, and the 10 that they, the 100 that they need plus the 10 they lost in terms of revenue. Does that make sense? Thumbs up if that makes sense. You got it? Okay, at the end of the day, colleges are businesses as well, so they have to sort of make it up some way or another. So that will mean a rise in acceptance rate for that particular school. The other thing that will happen, and I know I'm getting maybe a little bit nerdy and too much information, but I like to give it to you this way. The other thing that will happen is that they won't know how to determine much anymore how they're going to predict how many students, right? If they were a school that needed to admit 200 students to get 100 to say yes, next year they might need to admit 220 or 230 just to be like have more cushion, right? Because they're going to be nervous. So acceptance rates may go up in general a little bit, okay? Now, that all being said, that's the good news for you guys. I will also say that those colleges that are super competitive already, that's very likely not to change. I think that the HYPSs of the world will still be extremely competitive. And I don't know that the acceptance rates are going to go up. And even if they do, it will be so slight, you wouldn't, it's not going to make a huge difference. But That is, well, that's what I mean by the impact of COVID. So it will impact next year's decision, as I said. And here's the big news. So if you're willing, this can open some doors for your team. And this is my favorite thing, because yes, there will always be that tippy top of type of institution. And by the way, I think the public schools, the UC system, will be more popular than ever because it's a good price point as well. So I don't know that that's going to significantly, you know, change. But here's the thing, right? I know that UC San Diego was already trying to increase their enrollment and to get to a certain, I can't remember if they're trying to get to 30,000 undergraduates. So they were already having a higher acceptance rate than the last few years. Not a lot of people know that they were increasing their acceptance rate rather than decreasing. That's number one. Just about a year ago, or maybe it's been 2 years now, UC Merced opened up their doors and added more spots to their freshman class. So there are some UCs that are still, their pockets to be filled. But in general, what I mean by this slide is that there's a lot of schools in that middle pack that will really be hungry for students. They're not the top schools, and they're not, you know, the bottom colleges. But they're right in that middle. And so I predict that they might be offering some good merit dollars with the financial aid that they can give to try and attract that student that's a great student, because they don't want to open their doors to anyone who has a heartbeat. They want to still try to be competitive. So I think there'll be opportunity for some merit dollars, not a ton, but some merit dollars to try and attract that kid who might otherwise go to, you know, a Cal State or a UC, but might go to this particular private school. So a lot of opportunity can open up if you're willing to think broader about your college list. Okay, so there are challenges that come with what I've just said. So here comes the but, okay? And you probably can figure this out and maybe have already thought about this. Financial aid dollars will be impacted, okay? So I'm just going to be candid, because you're here with me and this is for Bishop Amat families. You know, families who can afford to pay fully for college, that's not a lot of Americans, but it's some, so I'm just going to put it out there, they are going to have a good pick, right? Because there are going to be colleges that are just in a financial situation that they're going to have to be very aware of the students that they're taking, the families they're taking, and be aware of their bottom line. So financial aid dollars may be impacted. And so we want to really think through, what does that mean for me and how can I prepare? So here, I want you to write this down. I want you to note this thing, and there'll be questions that you want to ask along the way. So start making notes of the questions to be thoughtful as you get to know more schools and engage in conversations via email, or if you do virtual college visits. So there is a term, these two terms called need blind and need aware. Okay. So you should ask the college if they are need blind or need aware. What that means is, when I'm reviewing your application, when I was reviewing your application at Vassar College, we were need blind. I didn't know if you applied for aid. And even if you did apply, even if I did know you applied for aid, I didn't know how much aid or if you were going to qualify for aid at all. We were need blind. So we made our decisions, admissions decisions, were need blind. Need aware is the opposite of that. No, being aware of your situation and how much money you're going to need if you are admitted. Okay. So those school, there will be some schools that used to be need blind that may be more leaning towards need aware. Okay. I want you to be, write those two terms down and understand those two terms. Then the next three things here are the three types of aid. Okay. So there is need-based aid, there is merit aid, and there are outside scholarships. So the need-based aid is, you apply for FAFSA or CSS, use the CSS profile if you're applying to private schools. So the government and or combination of school and the government decide how much money your family can afford to pay towards college. So if a college next year, you know, freshman year costs $10,000 to attend, don't we wish? If it costs $10,000 and they say that you can afford to pay $4,000, that $6,000 is your financial need. That is what is called your financial need. That is the need that you have to attend. And so that need is filled with university money. So every university has endowments and financial aid budget. So it will come from that. It will come from work study. It might come from Pell Grant. That $6,000 is filled some way. It might come from a student loan with very low interest rate. And it usually does not come with a parent loan unless a college, here's another thing you need to know, gaps their aid. So the second question you want to ask, the first one is, are you need blind or need aware? The second question you want to ask is, does your institution fill 100% of financial need? Okay. So of that 6,000 that is your need, will they fill that 100% or are they going to fill it 90%, leaving you to have to come up with that extra gap, that extra 10% some way? Whether that's a parent loan or borrowing from Abwe, whatever. Okay. That's the second question you want to ask. So that's need-based aid. The second thing here is says merit aid. So some colleges have, many colleges, you can look it up, especially the large public schools for out-of-staters. They might say with a certain GPA or a certain test score, your team is automatically going to get X amount of dollars, X amount of thousands of dollars. So you want to know that ahead of time, because if a 3.5 versus a 3.75 is the difference of $5,000 a year. Well, heck, then you're going to help, you know, this is really for the freshmen who are in the house right now. You know, you're going to want to shoot for that. If you know that ahead of time, you know what you need to get that merit scholarship. Okay. There are also presidential scholarships that sometimes come with an interview and those kinds of things. San Diego State has a presidential scholarship. I think LMU does, USC does. Those are the ones I'm familiar with and can rattle off to you, but there are schools that definitely have presidential scholarships that are full tuition, covers full tuition. So those are highly competitive, no matter what school you're applying to. And then there are outside scholarships, which I will definitely share a little bit more at the end, because I believe so much in gifting the gift of a debt-free a college degree if you can. And I think as parents, we're going to need to do more and more to help supplement what the college is able to do moving forward. Okay. I see there's somebody maybe sent a chat, so I'll check the chat in a little bit. Okay. So if you have a question, write it down right now. And we'll do questions at the end in the chat, because I can't see that. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time right now. Okay. All right. So practical tips, to do's and top sites. So here are some practical tips for the family. These are ones that I give to my private clients and my campers. So write these things down. You want to get a family email. And I'll tell you why. Because you're going to get if you haven't already, you're going to get a lot of clogging up of your personal email, number one. And number two, I believe that it should be a family email so that everybody can, can help Diego or Sandra check that email. The teenager wants to be able to say to mom and dad, these are my top schools, so can you help me buy? I mean, they're just going to get a ton of emails. So you want to open those emails. It shows that you have interest in that school, and it could be helpful down the line. Now you can track just about anything. So they're definitely, believe me, they're tracking how often you open your emails. Okay. Number two, set aside 40 to 60 minutes per week. Ask your teenager what would work for them. Maybe it's 2 30-minute sessions. Maybe it's 1 45 to 60-minute session. So parents, do not pepper your kids with questions about college every single day. If you have a thought, a suggestion, a question, something that you want them to do or take care of. They should be moving forward in college admissions every week. I definitely agree with you there, but don't pepper them every single day. So agree on family time, that you will have a little college meeting, okay? And teenagers, those of you who are watching, you can give your parents things to do too. They can help you. This takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. So split the jobs, like little chores, split the jobs up so that everybody has a job, okay? Number three, keep praising, encouraging, and supporting. What you can do, and you probably have already done that, or maybe you're all getting on each other's nerves now, but if you have a loving relationship with your teen, this is going to still be rocky, right? Because it's stressful. There's a lot of great news and celebrations, but it's also stressful. So even the closest of parents and teens will experience some stress and rocky road. So if you don't have a great relationship or there's a strain on it, really work hard in the next couple of weeks to try and mend those strains and be encouraging as possible, because this process will exacerbate what already exists. So I'm just being open and candid with you about that. It's a long road, but it will end joyfully. And the last point is to make this enjoyable. So again, assigning jobs and everybody getting involved in this process. Here are some to-dos for the family. So here we go. You want to write this down or screen grab this. I can't emphasize enough to really work on your college list. And I can send out some things. I'll do a follow-up email in the next 24, 48 hours with some real tools for you. So the college list is to be realistic with your, remember I said the AQs determine where you're going to apply realistically. And the biggest piece is I think that students look to their dream schools and then they throw on a few what we call safety schools or likely schools, but don't give a whole lot of attention to that middle group of schools where there could be some really great options. So spend the time now to really have a great list, to develop a great list. Search for scholarships. I'm going to give you some resources for that. Work with your school counselor. You can contact your college counselor, Mr. Scott, or make an appointment with your school counselor or the college counselor. But you can do that and use this time wisely. And then you can, number four, you can also sign up, of course, for an essay boot camp with me that we're partnering with Bishop Amat, and I'll give you the links to that in a minute. Here are some of my go-to top sites. These are things I can't live without. Even when I work with private clients or campers, these are my go-tos. So you're ready for this? Here they are. I love College Board. So I know they give the SAT and they get a bad rap, but College Board has been around for a long time. And I use that for looking up majors and figuring out, you know, if it's a major that a student wants, we go through this particular exercise, but you can Google you can search in the toolbar a particular school and then click on their majors to see what majors they have and then click on that major to see what it's all about and then click on other schools that have that major. So I use College Board mainly to distill majors and look for schools that have a major in a particular location across the country. College Hunch is an app for your phone, and you can use the compare icon to type in. Once you have a list of colleges, you can type in the colleges up to 15 and then hit go, and then presto, it gives you all of the admissions data, how many applications they had, what their acceptance rate is, their average GPA, their average test scores. I love College Hunch, love it. Number three is the ladder method, which I'm going to give you a screenshot for test prep. Someone asked me about test prep earlier. They do high-end one-on-one, and they do online virtual, where you don't need an instructor. So they have sort of the bronze, silver, and gold packaging. So I really love them. They've been around for a long time. And the woman who founded the ladder method is local LA, went to a private school here and then went to Cornell, and she has been doing this for a while. Number four is the scholarship system. There, she has a great blog and gives lots of lists of colleges where you can click and click to different links. It's just, it's great. I will forward you in the next 24 to 48 hours a list with all of these. Niche, Going Merry, Unigo, and College Data. These are all for scholarship search engines. Niche is also has a number of other things, but these four have our scholarship search engines. And then a big shout out for Western Undergraduate Exchange. You can Google that. WUWE, as it's called. They are the group of colleges on the West Coast and our Western region that have agreed to share in-state tuition for certain majors. So even though we are not residents of Arizona or Colorado or Washington, you can go and search schools for your major. Now, you know, you're not going to get all the schools, are not going to give you in-state tuition, but there's certain colleges that based on your major that you want to major in, you'll find schools that will give your parents in-state tuition. So it is a great saver, money saver, but there definitely are deadlines you've got to adhere to. So that is those six I do not live without. So there you go.
Okay, wowza. That is a lot of information. And so I hope you feel empowered instead of overwhelmed through this process. And there's going to be, obviously, as I said, lots of opportunity, but also plan ahead, especially with the financial aid and scholarships. And most students that I give a few little websites to, they take it and run with it. So I hope that was all helpful. So the main takeaway for me with all of this is that you and your teen... Your teen really is in control of much of this process, and the sooner you take control, the better off everyone will be, okay? All right, so before I let you go, just a reminder to sign up for my free webinar masterclass, The Anatomy of Successful Dream College Applications. Yep, I'm going to walk you through real students, real applications, and real results. And from the masterclass, you're going to learn the most important components of the college application, what colleges look for, what works in these particular applications, and give you some practical tips and strategies to get you started right away. Okay? You're going to go to my website, www.drcynthiacolon.com, and select the time and date that works best for you. It's all happening next week, so you do not want to miss the class, so get registered now. Like, literally, go do it now. Ugh, so excited. All right, that is all I have for you today, my friends. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If this episode has in any way fueled your confidence or helped build your dreams, please share this episode with three people in the next 30 minutes. Parents and mentors, if you are feeling extra loving today, go to iTunes and write us a review. This helps other listeners find us and begin their journey to Destination University. So write a review today. I'd love it. You can join the conversation on our Facebook group, Destination University, open to all parents, no matter the grade level of your child. Come on over and join the conversation. Okay, so I'll see you next week, noon Pacific, for another episode of Destination University. We are rerunning the popular three-part series, Behind the Scenes College Admission Truths. So if you've not listened to these, or if it's been a while, they're worth listening to again. I think when I listen to them, I learn something new each time. Yeah, I know, sounds funny, but I pick up on something else. So until next week, wherever you are, may you have a happy and sunny day. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening this week to Destination University. Be sure to join Dr. Cynthia Colon again next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel, and get one step closer to your success. Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales and Truths for Teens. Offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolone.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolone.com. Visit the site today.